It's the Adventures of Indiana Jim number 42 for November 5th, 2010.
And now, coming to you not exactly live from
the Cliffs of Insanity,
a man who needs no introduction.
Don't open that! It's an alien planet! Is there air? You don't know!
That international man of geekery, that intrepid arch-geekologist, Indiana Jim.
You have chosen wisely.
Don't tell me you've never heard of me.
I'll explain, and I'll use small words so that you'll be sure to understand, you warthog-faced buffoon.
Let me put it this way. Have you ever heard of Plato, Aristotle, Socrates?
Yes.
Morons.
You may find this childish arrogance impresses servant girls.
The ability to speak does not make you intelligent.
You, boy, are arrogant, hot-tempered, and entirely too bold.
I like that. Reminds me of me.
I don't believe I've seen such a display of courage, skill, nerve, grace, stupidity.
Why are you listening to this fellow? May I imagine he's wearing a costume, not a uniform.
I have entertained in all the courts of Europe and speak a ready wit in their every tongue.
I told you I was famous.
Welcome back to the Adventures of Indiana Jim. I am Indiana Jim. Unfortunately, Jim Ryan is not here live with me as I'm recording this. However, we did record about 2 hours and 10 minutes worth of stuff. And last time you only got about 25 minutes of it. So there is more. And I'm happy to bring it to you here for this episode. For the second straight week, an Adventures of Indiana Jim episode. And I'm feeling pretty good. I think, you know, if Jim and I can come on here and talk about stuff for 2 hours and it gives me a month's worth of content, hey, who's complaining, right? it brings a smile to my face and a very broad grin. I do have a bit of an update on some things. And of course, if you go to indianajim.net, there is a recent news blog post. And I am very remiss about updating my blog. I'm very remiss about a lot of things. I'm not the most disciplined person in the world. I know, rare. I right now my struggle is between playing my new low whistle that I got from Ireland that someone bought me, and playing Mod Nation Racers on my PlayStation 3. I love that game. I'm addicted to building new tracks. It's just so much fun. And you know, sometimes I want to write, but usually that happens at work when I'm sitting behind a desk anyway and have time to plunk at it here a little bit every now and then. And other wastes of time. And my interests are myriad, and I have difficulty organizing them all. But one thing that I really don't have a lot of time to get to, even if I did devote a lot of time to it, I would lose out on a lot of other things, and that includes focusing on family needs. And that's usually where priorities come crashing down. And I have just recently enlisted the help of a young lady who you may recall as Caria Doran from the Codename Starkeeper audio drama, who is also giving voice to the female lead in The Last Guardians. She is Sarah Gilbertson. And she is going to be doing she's going to be editing together the spoken parts for me for The Last Guardians. And so that way when I get scenes back from her, I can just add in the music, any extemporaneous narration. It'll just take a big load off my plate so I don't see this huge gigantic chunk and just freak out and go, I'm never going to get this done. So I'm enlisting help to see what we can do with that. And once that's done, there may be some additional voices I need to get in and smaller roles that need to be filled. which I can just then, you know, go in and insert them or have her do it. I don't know. You know, we'll see. But a very, very, very big thank you goes out to her. If you haven't checked out her husband's latest work, you can go to No Line Cinemas. I think that's .com. Let me just dial that up and see what happens. NoLineCinemas.com. There it is. NoLineCinemas.com. Click on the word Marvels. It's a big, 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 fancy, not really web logo. I think it might be a GIF. Who uses GIFs anymore? Click on Marvels. Go to Episodes. And you will find all the episodes there. Now, I play Han Solo in the first three episodes. Now, this is taken from a series from the Marvel comics, Star Wars Marvel's comics, with the giant green rabbit. And, yeah, I know, kind of weird. But anyway, I play Han Solo in the first three episodes. And if I do say myself, if I do say so myself, I did a pretty fairly decent job. And Chapter 4 has just been released. So it's weird, because it really kind of a goofy storyline anyway, but the work that Andrew does is superb, and his script writing is pretty good, and so I would definitely check that out if I was you. And anyway, I don't think there's much else to say. I mean, there's a lot of things to share here and there, but you'll hear some of those things throughout our conversation between me and Jim Ryan. Just picked up Stephen King's On Writing, which I've been wanting to pick up for a while. So I can't wait to dig into that. I recently finished Brandon Sanderson's The Way of Kings. It was enjoyable. You know, I can't say, hey, this is the greatest, you know, this is really great. It was fun, you know, and a different take on a lot of things. And you know, it just has a very different feel to it than your standard fantasy. In fact, a lot of it, it sort of felt like Dragon Age a little bit, but the story was much, much better. I mean, don't get me wrong, the Dragon Age story was cool, but The Way of Kings has a lot more depth to it. It was just really a lot of fun. And so, if you like doorstop fantasy, get in there and check it out. As always, check out Steven Erickson. I just recently finished, what was it, Midnight Tides? Yeah. That was probably the most enjoyable book out of all of them so far. Midnight Tides. Some very, very funny stuff in there. And you'll hear me talk a little bit about that when we get to the topic of Zilfs. And those of you who've listened to Dead Robot Society will know what I'm talking about. Thank you, Terry Mixon. Another book that I recently read, which I think you will find quite enjoyable. It's a little book called Geist by someone named, here's the spine, let me see, Philippa Ballantine? Wait, no. Of course, it's Philippa Ballantine. You know her as the author of Digital Magic, which is the second sequel, the first sequel, the second part, the second book. You know, that comes after the other thing, Chasing the Bard. Thank you, Chasing the Bad. So this is, but Geist isn't part of it. I really screwed that up. You know who Pip is, so go find Geist at your local bookseller. If it's not there, beat him over the head. Your local Borders and Walden Books only orders two. So, you know, get on the horn, ask them if they carry it. Say, oh, that's too bad. I guess I'll go to, you know, some other place, and then maybe they'll order it. And you know, we got to help Pip out, because this is real stuff now. This is the big boys. This is the big time. So let's get her out there. Let's do our part as good minions of the Dark Goddess. Right? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Okay. One of the better fantasy debuts you're going to find out there, does things a little differently. Fairly original as far as I know, I'm fairly well read. She has her own take on things and the system of magic, as it were, is new to me. So, and I like a lot of the things she does. It's very, very pulpy. But the characters, this is one of the things I strive for, and this is one of the things that Pip does well, is realistic dialogue. Human relationships that make sense, not dumb ones. You know, just when you think she's going to break into, oh, here's where this person misunderstands that person and they hate each other, and then only by something crazy happening do they get forced back together and then realize, oh, it was a misunderstanding all along. No, it's not a stupid rom-com dialogue and human relationships. It's very good stuff. So go check that out. And, oh, we can get to a writing update, I guess. The Sword of Calligrim is up past 25,000 words. So that's good. Got a very good chunk going. I've got some story momentum going. I just don't know where it's going to end. So, you know, cross your fingers on that one. And other stories, story ideas keep bubbling to the surface, but without much time to devote to them. And one day I will have my apartment cleaned and will have sworn off PlayStation forever and might have more time to write, or make more time to write, as the case may be. I'm trying to think of all the stuff that I haven't told anybody yet. I have a really nice picture of a train in my room. Yeah. Let's see. Oh, my podcast, the 49ers Fancast, is going strong. So you can check that at 49ersfancast.com if you like football or the 49ers or either. If you like the 49ers, which I don't know how many of you do. Oh, yeah, I want to give a special shout out to friend of the program over there at 49ers Fancast and this show too. That'd be Mr. Sean Farrell of Adventures in Sci-Fi Publishing. He has become an active member of that podcast community over there. Very active comment section. And, you know, just all around cool guy. And one day I hope to be a guest on his program when I have a book to talk about. And that should be fun. Real quick, Grail Quest update. Grail Quest Books being the publisher of the forthcoming Wars novella. Nathan Butler's Earther novella, I may have mentioned this, is out of the gate, ready to go to publication. Sean E. Williams, not the Star Wars author, but a different Sean Williams, his novella is ready for approvals. It's through the editing process. And I believe mine is currently going through the editing process, so I will be very excited to get my edits back. That should be fun. And what else? Oh, there's just oodles of things. And I'm getting close now. I think once Sarah gets through, once we get through the bulk of what we're doing, I need to get busy and record some more narration. Once we get through the bulk of that, then I'm going to start releasing the promos for The Last Guardians. There are 4 or 5 of them. Which will be, I think, a good way to generate interest in the production. So be on the lookout for that. And anyway, contact details, if you want to get in touch with the show, voicemail 760-705-INDY. That is a Google Voice number. You can email podcast@indianajim.net. I am on Facebook at facebook.com/IndianaJim. Twitter, of course, @IndianaJim. And, you know, kind of all sounds the same after a while, doesn't it? So anyway, this episode, this week, whatever, this version of me getting on here and spouting will feature Jim Ryan and I discussing role-playing games and some of his favorite things, some of the different systems that are out there, some of the better things that are out there, stuff you might be interested in. If you're not a gamer, this may not be up your alley. However, I'm not a gamer either, but I did enjoy the discussion. So I hope you do as well. We're going to take a break for a promo. And when we return, Jim Ryan and I discussing RPGs.
In the quiet void of deep space, the unknown can be deadly.
We have before us now simply the void of interstellar space. We glide, a single line on a vast ocean of darkness.
There's something out there, sir, but I can't get a fix on it. The readings I'm getting don't make any sense.
Power without conscience.
It's almost as fast as we are, and we can't even hurt it.
We are under attack. Repeat, we are under attack.
Destruction without defense.
Those gashes on the side of it.
Something tore right through that hull, all right. From the inside out.
We have all break, Captain.
It's drawn the power right out of our generator. Through the hole.
Hunger without end.
It's like a stream of living lightning.
The first great test of the marbles.
Look, there. Trouble.
Maybe their last.
There's no stang thing we can do about it.
Die, you wretched fiend.
It goes against my rocket rabbit instincts to play dead.
Honey, it's better than not playing.
Pirates!
No, Captain. Something bigger. Much bigger.
Emperor's black bones.
All right, let's see if we can press our luck. We'll use the Bothan maneuver, all guys.
The Bothan maneuver?
Yeah. Stab him in the back.
No Line Cinemas presents...
Captain, what hit us?
Oh, there has to be something we can do.
You'll tear us apart!
Hang on.
Star Wars Marvels. Here there be monsters.
We've lost all power.
Then we shall perish alone in the void.
I don't know. I just got a good feeling about this trip.
Here in the depths of deep space, here lie monsters.
Your opinion, then, on the state of role-playing games today?
Well, role-playing games are at an interesting point, I think. There's a lot going on that's making the hobby more open to more people. Some of it good, some of it problematic. Because the thing is with, well, the flagship, one would say, is Dungeons & Dragons. That's the one that gets the most attention, it's the most popular, it has the most backing.
Yeah.
Hasbro owns them. And so they get Hasbro's marketing arm. They have, with their most recent edition, done things to try to make it appeal to a wider audience. They want to get the World of Warcraft dollars. And so they have...
Well, so you have to put that on a game console or a PC. 'Cause,
yeah, there is that.
You know, these that's the gap between the passive and the active entertainment crowd. You know, most... people, they want to have their imaginations fed. They don't want to make their imaginations work.
Yeah, and that's one of the big sort of disconnects, I think, that can occur between the one and the other.
Yeah, but I'm sorry to
they
interrupt.
They are getting more interest because they explain things in terms of things that World of Warcraft players would understand.
So really they dumb it down.
Yeah, pretty much. The fourth edition.
No offense to anyone here who plays World of Warcraft.
Very friendly large print.
Oh, it's what, the senior citizen edition?
it could serve as it, pretty much. It does do that. They actually did just now come out, though, with... You see, it's at war with itself, though, because they just came out with this series of books called The Essentials. They're still actually in the process of coming out with that. That revises the rules, and they're trying to... So they're now trying to swing back in the other direction. And, well, basically, ever since, for me to get on, it's not exactly a soapbox, for me to stand on this matchbox here for a few seconds, TSR was purchased by Wizards of the Coast, they have pretty much treated Dungeons & Dragons more as a piece of software than as a published product.
Yeah.
In many ways. Now, this is, and that was on purpose. That was actually something I believe... names. Trying to remember the guy's name, and I know his name, but of course, right, I'm in the middle of talking, and I can't access my brain to get it because I'm using those tubes right now. Ryan Dancy, I believe, was the guy who brokered the deal for Wizards of the Coast to purchase. TSR.
Uh-huh.
And he then began working with Wizards of the Coast. And I think he was the one that came up with the idea of trying to apply software logic to it. So what happens is then you have a lot of things based on feedback from players and trying to actually improve the game, which is good as a constant thing. But the problem then is that you're never finished writing the game.
Right.
There is never a point at which you are going to come out with the last edition. Now, marketing-wise, that, of course, goes with the standard sort of product treadmill thing that a lot of RPG game companies had to do to survive, which is becoming less the case now, not so much that they're surviving any better aside from that, but
yeah.
they're sort of going more to an online model at this point. But in any case, yeah, D&D is coming out more as a software thing, so you see lots of releases and re-releases of the same things, which is both annoying and helpful in various ways. They also are moving slowly towards their online tools, doing more with those, which is another thing where they're trying to grab the World of Warcraft dollars, where they give you this insider account, which has been having a lot of trouble lately. Mm-hmm. Just with them, because they're promising to come out with certain things, and they're not, and they discover when they get to it, mm-hmm. they're not able to come out with things as quickly as they thought, because they're transitioning from doing books to actually doing software. So it's, I don't know, kind of a big thing for them. I don't know the specific details, so I can't speak to exactly what's going on there, but I know they're trying.
So is this kind of thing taken away from the tabletop crowd? I mean, is it, because I've heard a lot of people complaining about 4th edition.
I wouldn't say that it's taking away from the tabletop crowd. I think pretty much all the same people are arguing that we're arguing before.
Well, I mean, are they starting to feel ignored or minimized or left out or what?
There are people in my group who are. I think maybe there is happening. And then, of course, you see you've got people who are also more into still going with the 3.5 edition, which.
Right.
Is mostly held up by Pathfinder. There are actually a few different companies that have put out different versions of a development on 3.5. But Paizo is, I think, got the most attention right now with Pathfinder, and they've been doing pretty well. So it has split their base somewhat.
Mm-hmm.
But they're also still constantly getting new people, so that. You know, you never know, because they've got these game day events and such that go on at local gaming shops where they try to recruit more people, because, you know, people, you know, kids coming by, they see people playing D&D in the shop, and so they go in, and that's the idea. So it's, I don't know what the effect is going to be yet. I think we're going to have to wait and see.
Mm-hmm.
To determine exactly how much splintering there's going to be. But as far as the state of things go, the overall. So you've got the D&D is pretty much, you know, the 800-pound gorilla. And then you do have this, I almost want to term it, as others have, a renaissance in indie gaming that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
White Wolf is pretty much exactly where it was, although albeit in a different format now. Ryan Dancy is actually with White Wolf now, and he's, CCP White Wolf. They're owned by CCP now. Which does EVE Online, and so pretty much they don't have to worry now about the product treadmill. So they're doing all manner of non-print things soon. Although, you know, they're going to start printing a little more stuff over the next year or so. But I think they are moving to all PDFs or things of that nature and other strange, mysterious things. Then, you know, when you have everybody else, which. Is very interesting. I don't think people are so much interested in seeing the same system used over and over again like they were kind of in the 90s. It's now very much, I think, the more interesting innovations are coming out in the newer games. Like, for example, the Fate system is doing very well.
Mm-hmm.
Fate system, which is used primarily by Spirit of the Century, the Dresden Files game that just came out, which is doing pretty well, I hear. And John Wick did Houses of the Blooded, which is based on the Fate system. So that's going pretty well. There is this trend a little bit more towards story games, which is interesting. I just got introduced not too long ago to a game called Zombie Cinema, which is a lot of fun, where you don't really have a GM, but each of the players figures out what their characters are from these cards they get, and they each take turns narrating part of a zombie movie until all of them are dead or whoever's alive left escapes.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a lot of fun. There's a more of a player narration type game called In a Wicked Age that I have just started running for some people that is looking to be very interesting. And so there's a lot of experimental stuff going on that I think could prove very interesting and very solid. Now, I don't know how solid in terms of finances this will end up being. because virtually, you know, the majority of the, or I'd say most of the RPG designer population also has other jobs at this point. But, and, you know, these are the people who are not like the big few people like at, say, at CCP White Wolf or at Wizards of the Coast and all that. It is becoming more of a, well, you know, well, like with podcasting doesn't exactly bring us the rich dollars,
right?
But we try to do it and put out a product regularly, and by many it's looked at as almost like a professional thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of the same thing with the new RPGs, except I think they even have an advantage of being looked at as even more of a professional-looking type thing because of the manner of their release. And also Indie Press Revolution has been helping out a lot with that. Drive-Thru RPG has been helping out a lot with that. So all manner of things are going on that I think are making it so that literally at this point anybody can put out an RPG.
Right.
And so it's pretty much, I guess you call it, crowdsourcing? RPGs are becoming YouTube, so they're going to be everywhere.
Really?
If anyone looks.
Oh, yeah. What are some of the best games that are out there right now? Or did you already say that? I mean,
I'm sorry, I was recovering from having conjured up that huge wall of text. I apologize. Wall of words now! Okay. Some of the best ones. I'll tell you what my favorite ones are.
Is that your superpower? Wait, no, that's T. Morris's superpower.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. I did watch that telethon. That was amazing.
Oh, dear Lord.
Although no, Rich Siegfried is impressive as well. Sorry, podcasting's Rich Siegfried is impressive as well.
Right.
And I've met him a couple of times, and he's a cool guy. But he also has the wall of words ability when he needs to.
Yes, he does.
But there was a question in there somewhere. Favorite RPGs? Yeah. Well, I can tell you what my favorite are. I don't know. I'm trying to think if I would equate those to the best or not. It's hard for me to come up with a list of quote unquote the best because with criteria in many ways, you look at two different RPGs, it's apples and oranges.
Right. Right.
The ones that I like, I seem to enjoy best lately and that I think is reaching the best base for what it does is, well, right now, Savage Worlds, which is a system that is by itself a sort of a generic vanilla system, but the whole point of it is that you can then create your own setting from it.
Yeah.
I've used it for the last three campaigns I've run, Deadlands included, which Deadlands is like one of my favorite things on the planet, which is sort of a horror western setting, alternate history thing, which is a lot of fun. So they also have Necessary Evil that I ran, which is a really cool setting. It's a superhero setting, but it's a super setting in which all of the superheroes are actually dead because of an alien invasion. The aliens invaded and they killed all the superheroes, and now all that's left to defend the planet are the supervillains. And so the players play these cells, resistance cells made up of supervillains. So I did a campaign of that, which was a lot of fun. Right now I'm just doing my own thing with it. I have a Mythic Ancient Rome campaign that I'm running, which is doing pretty well. We're doing it, so we've got satyrs and centaurs and such running around in the era of Caligula, which is very entertaining. So Savage Worlds is a, I think, a good solid RPG that can do a lot of different things for a lot of people. I want to try out Fate. I think that's doing very well for folks. I haven't tried that one out yet, so I can't really say as how I, what I prefer or not. This may come as an interesting surprise to the one or two people who may know who I am and be paying attention. I actually am a fan of the Amber Diceless role-playing game. And so now those one or two people probably have just turned their iPods off.
No, I hope not.
The Amber Diceless role-playing game, it's based on the series, the Amber novels by Roger Zelazny.
Oh, okay.
It's a very rich world in and of itself.
Yeah.
But the idea behind it is that there are no dice. Any of the players, the PCs are pretty much the most powerful. The PCs are some of the most powerful beings in the universe, in the multiverse.
Uh-huh.
And so you can pretty much do anything, but then so can everyone else. So it can be a hard game for people to adjust to, but it can be a lot of fun.
Right.
If done properly and if done with a game master that you can trust. I started running Amber as a one-shot, and the one-shot turned into a three-year campaign because I kept having people end up participating and wanting it to continue.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was a lot of fun, cool. And it can be very self-sustaining if it's done right.
Yeah.
Which is the trick. So that's also one of my favorites. And anything else? I mean, I've been doing a lot of the World of Darkness stuff lately. The system in and of itself is not necessarily ideal for a lot of things. The system itself is mostly for things like fighting and controlling people.
Mm-hmm.
And a little bit of investigating, which is the part that I have fun with. But I think there are probably other systems that would probably accomplish what the World of Darkness wants to do better. And they're still going along and plugging along with their system, and it's fine. It's not the worst system in the world. It's a solid enough system. But oddly enough, I ran into this variant that Daniel Perez had come up with. He does the Gamer Traveler podcast.
Yeah.
Using mechanics that essentially had been taken from a game called Don't Rest Your Head, which were very interesting because, in brief, there are two layers to it. One telling you how many successes you get, and the other telling you, based on what pool you get the dice from, what kind of success it was.
Huh.
Whether you have... And essentially, if it were, say, the case of Vampire, whether it was the man or the beast dominating. And if you have the beast dominating, then you sink further down into your vampiric nature. And so that, I thought, was very cool because it's like that really represents the personal horror, inexorable slide into becoming a monster. I think that represents it a lot better than the current White Wolf system does. And so I'm at some point curious to actually try that variant out, and I want to actually go back now and look and see how any playtests you might have done with it did. But I think that's a good possibility for that.
So you're really pretty wide ranged in the stuff you dabble in. I mean,
I'm all over the place. Yeah. I have no focus.
So you don't really fall anywhere in, say, the D20 or D6 or any of which systems you like best or.
Yeah, not really. I'm pretty much willing to try anything.
Huh.
As far as an RPG goes.
Say, how experimental.
Put that qualifier in there real quick.
Well, that's going to do it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. Remember, I've got a lot more content for you. We're going to have at least two more episodes in the next couple weeks, so be sure to stay tuned for those. If you want to get your voicemail on the show, please use that voicemail line that nobody wants to use, which is 760-705-INDY. And you can find me on Twitter at Indiana Jim. You can find him on Twitter at OtherDoc, which is OtherDoc. So thanks very much for listening, and I will be back real soon.
You've been listening to The Adventures of Indiana Jim, a production of Visionary Creative Works. Visit podcast.indianajim.net and leave comments on the blog. Send in your emails and audio feedback to podcast@indianajim.net. TheOnlyOneWithTalent.net. I'm Dr. John Smart. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.